Good morning. My name is Rene Monet, Pastor Rene. I'm glad to be with you this morning. Thank you for remembering to set your clock up. And it's great to be with you this morning. Thank you, Pastor Robin, for giving me the chance to preach. I retired 3 years ago, and I live here now. I attend this church. And we enjoy it, and occasionally Pastor Robin lets me preach, and I love it. I enjoy it. I still love to preach after preaching in the same church for 39 and a half years. I still enjoy it, still firing my bones. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I was talking with my wife about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and this particular message had been on my heart. I've been thinking about Easter coming up, and so I told her one night, I said, man, I would love to preach that particular message. And Pastor Robin hadn't asked me, so I said, well, maybe we could video it and put it on YouTube or put it on Facebook or something like that. So we made plans on doing it that way. But I told the Lord, I said, Lord, it sure would be a lot easier if you would just speak to Pastor Robin. He would let me come and preach, and then that would be it. I wouldn't have to worry about all that recording and all that stuff. So about 2 or 3 days later, I didn't say a word to anybody. And 2 or 3 days later, Pastor Robin texted me, said, could you preach on the 14th? I went, yeah. I'm going to get to. Praise God. To me, one of the most important messages that I can preach and that we can understand this is very important. So I'd like for us to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to be with us. Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, I love you. I thank you. I acknowledge that I cannot possibly do this without you. I need your help. I need your anointing and wisdom and strength. And I need you, Lord, that you would help me and help all the people to understand and hear what the Holy Spirit has to say this morning. Give us understanding, Lord, by your Spirit, and show us and give us truth. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. It must have been the worst day of their life. Had to be. All the disciples had planned and prepared for Jesus to be the Messiah. And they thought he would take Israel to new heights, to bring them back to where they were a great nation again. They thought Jesus was going to be a reigning Messiah. But that day, all their dreams had lost. They were hopeless. They had seen their Messiah beaten mercilessly, hung on a cross, died in 3 short hours, and saw the soldiers pierce his side with a sword, with a spear. And water and blood mingled, indicating he was dead. And they must have thought, okay, this is it. My life is over. But little did they know, or little did anybody know, what would happen during those 3 days. Have you ever thought about those 3 days that Jesus was dead? Before the resurrection, Jesus had told them bits and pieces what would happen, but they had a hard time believing it. So what I'm going to tell you today is we're going to look through the Word and we're going to see the pieces and parts of the puzzle that give us wisdom about what really happened from the cross to the throne. Those 3 days, pivotally integrally important in all of history. So let's back up a little bit to make sure we understand where we are. Jesus waited to come into Jerusalem until the 10th of Nisan. Now, they tried to get him to come in earlier, but nope. He waited until the 10th of Nisan. Why? It just so happened that on the 10th of Nisan, when he entered in, all the lambs would be brought into the city, and they would be inspected by the priest to make sure they were a perfect sacrifice, and each priest would indicate for that particular lamb no fault, no blemish, a perfect sacrifice, able to be sacrificed for each family. Little did they know that as those lambs were being led in, the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world was also entering into the city, and he too was inspected by all the chief priests and the high priests and all the authorities and the rulers and all those who hated him. They tried to find anything wrong with him, accuse him of all kinds of things. And even Herod himself at the very end said, "I find no fault in him." He would be the Lamb of God that would be the perfect sacrifice for your sins and my sins. So he died on the cross. What happened then? Well, we begin to see pieces of the puzzle. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9 says, this is why it says, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to men. That's interesting. Notice it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world, the place of the dead. What in the world was Jesus doing there? Why did he go? And this is referred to in the Bible as Sheol, the place of the dead. Jesus gave us a story about it in Luke chapter 16 about the poor man, Lazarus, and the rich man both dying at the same time. And they go to be in different places in Sheol, one in upper region and lower region, those in torment in the lower region. And Abraham was in the upper region, and the poor man was in Abraham's bosom right next to him. So we see a place of the dead. Why was Abraham, why was he in Sheol? Why couldn't he go be with the Father in heaven? Because the sin debt for mankind had not yet been paid. No one from Adam all the way until Jesus, no one could go and be into the presence of God until their sin debt was paid for. So Jesus is in Sheol, and there are two important things that happen in Sheol. The very first thing, we see it in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 14, it says, he canceled the record of charges against us, and he took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authority, talking about the devil and all his demons. Watch this. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them in the on the cross. Now, he didn't do that on the earth. He did it in Sheol. What, and the New King James Version uses the word, which is really a better word in the Greek than it used here. It uses the word triumph. He triumphed over them. So what happened? A triumph was an actual Greek word that described when a warring army would go out to fight a battle and they would win the battle. Then the victor, the king who led the procession, he was the victor. And all those who were defeated would follow back behind him in chains. And so it tells us here in Colossians that Jesus led a triumph, and he publicly humiliated all the demons in hell and Satan himself, because now he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he won the victory over every demon. Now listen, when you pray in the name of Jesus, those demons remember that triumph. They remember that you use the mighty name of Jesus, and they know who won the battle. They know that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you are praying in His name, the mighty name of Jesus. That's why they fear, tremble at the name of Jesus. So that's the first thing that happened, is there was a great triumph, a great victory parade over the demons. Second thing that happened, you see this in Revelation 1, verse 18. It says, I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave. What in the world is he going to do with those keys? He opened paradise. He opened the place where all the Old Testament saints were, from Adam to Jesus. All those who had died before couldn't go to be with the Father because the sin debt had not been paid. But Jesus had the keys. He opened that gate, and he led captivity with him up into heaven. They got to witness the greatest event in all of history. They got to see it with their own eyes. They got to be in the presence of the Father, and they watched what Jesus did in heaven. Amazing. Because now we see Jesus, and he's in heaven. He has led the captives, captivity, with him to heaven. And I can just imagine the host of witnesses. All the Old Testament saints were there. All were gathered around. All the angels of God. All the 24 elders. They were all waiting for a pivotal moment in history. And we pick it up in Hebrews chapter 9. So Christ has now become the high priest over all good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made with human hands and is not a part of this created world. With his own blood, not the blood of bulls and goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time, and secured our eternal redemption forever. Praise God! What an exciting thing! Jesus in heaven, at the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle, in the temple, he entered in and presented his own blood once for all. It's the reason Jesus had to be born of a virgin, so he would have sinless blood. And because he had sinless blood, he was the perfect sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God. And when his blood was placed on the Holy of Holies in heaven, your sin debt and my sin debt and all of mankind had been paid for. All the Old Testament saints, all of us, all of those to come were paid for by the precious blood of Jesus. And I could bet there was some shouting going on in heaven. Man, I could just see them as they watched him approach the throne and approach the Holy of Holies. And he applied his blood, and it was the perfect sacrifice. And man's sin was forgiven. Praise God. I bet you they were shouting and singing. And as a matter of fact, the Bible even includes a picture of that. It's in Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. Then I saw a lamb that looked like it had been slaughtered, but it was now standing between the throne and the four living beings and among the 24 elders. And he had seven horns and seven eyes, which represent the seven spirits of God, sevenfold spirit of God that is sent out into every part of the earth. He stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one having a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song with these words: "You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it, for you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked again and I saw the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and the living beings and the elders, and they sang in a mighty chorus, "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Praise God. Can you imagine when you and I worship God, we're just joining in the chorus in heaven. They're worshiping God and they're excited and rejoicing that Jesus paid the price for our sin. We can be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We can have our sins forgiven. Now what happens? Now that the blood has paid for our sins, Jesus is in heaven. What happens? An amazing thing. Watch what happens. Matthew 27. Then he shouted again and he released his spirit. That's referring to him on the cross. At that moment, the curtain of the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. Interesting. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. Then they left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, and they went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and they appeared to many people. Wow! Can you imagine grandmother coming, knocking on the door, saying, "Hey, hello, it's me." "Who?" "Grandmother." "What? You died. We buried you." "I don't know. I don't understand, but I'm alive." Now, let me just put a little understanding to this. At the death of Jesus, there was a earthquake. And that earthquake, not only the Roman centurion said, "Surely this is the Son of God." But at that earthquake, at the death of Jesus, it says it not only tore the veil from the top to the bottom, which was 10 layers thick. Not only that, but the tombs in that area split open, and dead bodies and their bones fell out. Why in the world did that happen? What is God saying to us by those dead bones coming to life? How did that happen? Well, I believe when Jesus entered the tomb, after these 3 days, he's paid the price in heaven. He's done everything he needed to do in Sheol. He enters back into that tomb, and there's another earthquake, which is a smaller earthquake, and it rolls away the stone. And the resurrection God, the resurrection power of God hits Jesus, and he walks out of that tomb, and the resurrection power of God is so strong that it affects all the dead people whose bones have come out. and they come to life. What is God saying to you and me? He's saying he wants the resurrection power of God to be so strong in you that you will cause a lot of dead people to come to life. A lot of people's lives will change because of the resurrection power of God in you. Because, face it, there are a lot of dead people walking around. They're alive, but they're dead. They're the walking dead. They don't know Jesus. They have no life. And when you preach Jesus to them, they can come alive. They can come alive like you've come alive. And that's what God is trying to say through this story. He's trying to say, I want the resurrection power of God to be so strong in you that when you talk to people about Jesus, they'll come alive. You'll tell them about Jesus just like somebody told you about Jesus, and they come alive. You can tell them about the resurrection power of God. They can be forgiven of their sins, and they can come alive. They need something, though. All the disciples needed something. And this is the final act that had to happen. And we see it in John chapter 20. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leader. Suddenly, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he said. And as he spoke, he showed them his wounds and his hands and his side, and they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. And God is saying that to you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And then he says this. Then he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Does that sound familiar? If you go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, when God created Adam, it says that he created Adam and he made him a living being. And then, what did he do? It says he breathed into him the breath of life, because the word breath in the Hebrew is spirit. He was alive, but he didn't have connection with God. So he needed the breath of God, the Spirit of God to live in him. Now, he lost that in the Garden of Eden because of Satan's temptation. And for thousands of years, God has wanted, he has loved you, and he has wanted to fill you with his Holy Spirit. He's wanted to put himself, his Spirit, back into his people. He wants to have connection with you. And he can only have that connection if you have the Spirit of God in you. The sin debt has been paid for. The devil has been triumphed over. One more thing needs to happen. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That's what he wants to do to you. He wants you to receive the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants you to have the ability for God to live inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit. He purchased at the cross the ability for you to have the Holy Spirit. Now, John chapter 14, Jesus told him, this is coming. He said in John 14, he said, you have the Holy Spirit with you. But he shall be in you. Oh, that's a difference. There's a difference between the Holy Spirit being with us and the Holy Spirit being in us. And what he wants is the Holy Spirit to be in us. That's what God is saying this morning. He loves you. He cares for you. He died on a cross for you. He paid the redemption price for your sin. And then He comes to breathe on you and give you life, give you the Spirit of God so that you can change other people around you, so that you can be a new creation in Christ and you can cause other people to be a new creation in Christ. Stand with me. Let's sing it unto the Lord. If you're here today and you've never met Jesus, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, you've never had the resurrection power of God to fill you and change you into a new creation, I invite you, Holy Spirit, touch your people. Lord, fill them with the Holy Spirit. Breathe on them, Lord God. You've redeemed them by your precious blood. Lord, fill them with your Holy Spirit that they might know the power of your resurrection. Work in them, Lord. Work in all of us, Lord, that we can touch other people and they can be changed also. Raise the dead to life. Lord, we love you. And I ask you, Lord, to draw each person to you. Help them to receive what you've done for us. How powerful, how beautiful, how amazing is your name, the name of Jesus. Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, come on, church, let's put our hands together this morning for Jesus. He's so good. Such a great word. Thank you, Pastor Renee. You can be seated for just a second this morning. What a strong word, and what I love about the word, it is really inlining our thinking and help us to get focused on what is to come, the story to come about Easter, and Easter's right around the corner. We're so excited. We talked to our online family a little bit this morning, and we want to make sure that everyone in the house knows too. Easter's coming up on April 4th, just a few weeks away. And on April 4th, we'll be having our normal service times of 8:30, 10, and 11:30. But we will be adding a service on April 3rd, Saturday night at 5 p.m. If you can't make it on Sunday, we've added that option. We see a lot of new guests, a lot of people who maybe have never been to Promised Land before, or they were invited for Easter, or maybe some people who only come around the Easter time or whatever it might be. And our attendance is just much higher than normal. And so we add a fourth service to help accommodate for all the people that would come in, for you guys, if it's tough to make it on Sundays. And so that's why we're adding that fourth service on Saturday night at 5 p.m. It's going to look identical to Sunday morning, same songs, same message, same kids ministry, all of that. And so if that works better for you, we'd like to invite you out to Saturday night. And also for Easter, we, like I said, there's just an influx of people. And so we really lean on and rely on our church body. If you've never been a part of our dream team, but you've been considering it, Easter is the perfect time for you to get involved, whether it's in our production team, on our ushers and greeters, in our kids ministry. We talk about it all the time, but we could really, really use some folks that say, hey, I'd like to get involved. And maybe it's only for that one day. Maybe it's a new journey that you're going to take on. But we'd love to invite all of you to be a part of our dream team for those days as well. I want to talk to our students just for 1 second. Anyone from 6th to 12th grade, I want to let you know that we have a worship service coming up for you next Sunday night. Pastor Nate will be leading us in worship, and we'll have a word, games. The team is just preparing and getting ready. If you're 6th to 12th grade, next Sunday, 6 p.m., we're going to be jumping in and having an amazing service right in here. And so we want to make sure that everybody knows about that. We'll be putting stuff on our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. So make sure to stay posted so you have that information. We do want to continue this time of worship right now, but with our giving, we want to give you an opportunity to be generous. We just call it the moment of generosity. All the things that we talk about every week, whether it's Next Steps or Easter or student ministry or whatever it might be, it's not possible without people who are generous, without people who have the revelation that what God is trying to do in San Marcos and in our community takes us all coming together and being generous people. And so I want to give you an opportunity to give. There's a few ways you can give online at psmchurch.com. You can give through the Realm app. You can text PROMISEAND to 73256. Or if you want to give by cash or check, you can do that as well. In the seat back in front of you, you'll find an envelope. It kind of serves two purposes. Number one, if it's your first time here, we're not asking that you give anything, any money or anything monetarily. We just ask that you would jot your name down, connect with us, let us know that you are here, this is your first time, or maybe you want to learn more about the sermon or take your next steps, or you have a prayer request. That's the form you want to use, and you can drop it in the offering bins on the way out. For all of our regular attenders and givers, that is an opportunity for you to give by cash or check. Drop it in there, write your name down for a record of your giving, and the same as you head on out, you can drop it off on the bins. But I just want to pray for you that as you give, God would bless you, and that whatever seed you're sowing would have great fruit. Can I pray for you this morning? Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you for this opportunity to link our heart with your heart. God, we pray that you would do so much more than we can ever ask, think, or imagine, that you would bless people tremendously because of the generous people here at Promise. And I pray that you bless every person that is giving with joy in their heart this morning, and that they would receive a return for their faithfulness in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Come on, say amen again. And let's put our hands together one more time for Jesus, the worship team, Pastor Renee's word. It was an amazing morning. We're super excited that y'all joined us. Our ushers and greeters are getting in position right now. We're going to continue to dismiss from back to front to maintain the 6 feet distance. So please just wait until they get to your row. They'll be at your row in just a few moments. Everybody watching online, I want to say thank you. You could be anywhere in the whole world, but you're watching right here, whether you're at work, on the road, at home, on your couch, whatever it is, if you're jamming with us or whatever, you know, just thanks for being here. We love you. We'll see you real soon.